Oh, que da, sir.
Yes, sir.
My man.
Yes, sir.
My brother.
Welcome back.
Yes, sir. Another day, another episode.
I think we said that last time,
too. Did we? I said another week last time, I think.
Another week, another episode. Yeah, same thing. Another, they all blend together at this point.
At the end of the, you know. But listen, it's the consistency that matters. We're here.
We are. But more importantly, we both have fully transitioned now.
That's right.
And before the listeners get any ideas...
Please clarify.
So I'm currently not coaching for now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little up in the air.
TBD,
so
right? Are you GTD?
So football has ended.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball evaluations have happened.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm not trying to coach. I need a break. I've been going since last February. And that said, as of last week, they needed 5 to 6 coaches for this age group. So
that means you're coaching.
Mm. Mm.
That's what it means. You're coaching.
And there's a couple of my football kids that are going to be in there.
It means you're coaching.
But there are some of the more challenging ones.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
Then that.
But.
Got it.
But not. Not necessarily all in a bad way.
Right.
Yeah.
I got you.
Like, it's one of those, like, I told D this.
Do I really want these problems?
But, like, I told D this. I said, listen, because he was like, please coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, nah. First of all, you're going to play middle school next year.
Mm.
So this is the last, like, house league that you're going to be in.
Right.
But also, I just want to be a dad and just sit up in the stands and
just watch,
take videos of your highlights. That's all I want to do.
You don't want the week to week commitment of
just one season.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. And you earned it. You deserved it.
Right? I did.
And it's actually I think that's a great opportunity for him to transition into learning under another coach.
Yeah.
Cause right. Dad's always been there. Let me figure this out another way. Cause you're always not going to be there.
I'm not going to be there for middle school.
Right. So now
potentially.
But what are you going to do? Eventually, you're not going to.
I asked some questions this morning to, you know, find out because obviously, you know, his mom works at the school. So
that's true.
I don't know. There may or may not.
But there will come a point at some point, right?
Where I don't know. Maybe I'll just go all the way.
All the way to college and NFL. Right? But where the. And you should get a flavor of different styles of coaching, right? And understand what works, doesn't work, and how you react to it, and right? So it's a good thing.
But as we speak of flavors of cultures, of coaching, not enough about me. Let's talk about you, because now you're back in it.
I'm back in it, your man. Break. I had my break. I had my, well, kind of I mean, a break. But I had my
from
mini,
group coaching.
Sure.
Yeah.
I had my mini break, and we're back. Season started last week. And needless to say, first practice and the drama.
Already.
So I'm not, I come from the frame of thought that there is no such thing as a participation trophy.
Mm-hmm.
And that may not bode well with certain folks, but I don't do that, right? You don't get participation trophies. You don't get a check just to show up. Listen, you could show up to the gym to work out, but work on your thumb six packs and then go home, say, oh, selfie, 3 hours in the gym and got nothing done. Right? That's you don't just show up and have fun. You show up to work. So in our coaching, right, I have an hour with these kids.
Which
and an
not
hour
a lot of
is nothing.
That's nothing.
It's nothing to get. That's a warm up.
I had 2 hours for football. So
okay,
that was
so
like.
That's good.
Yeah.
So I have an hour. That's nothing. And my son who plays AU, for him, it's a sample.
Hell yeah.
It's an appetizer for him. And by the time. So I at the end of practice, our first practice, I asked, you guys tired? He immediately goes, no.
Yeah, I mean, because he's used to.
And every other kid's like, yes. So he asked me to amp it up. And I'm thinking, like, I got to strike a balance here because not every kid is AAU here.
Right.
But there, and a moment happened, an instance happened on the court.
Oh, here we go.
So I started my practice with not a single basketball drill for 45 minutes.
Mm.
Not a single basketball.
Of the hour.
Of the hour. Of no basketball. First time meeting me. First time coaching. For all these running? Kids. Already. And I started with.
Like all running.
No, not all okay. running. Not all running. But a lot of running. Right? I believe in conditioning.
Yeah. Right.
So I did the whole practice of basically physical fitness.
Mm.
It was all physical fitness. Learning how you, where your body stands in this thing. Like where you are from a physical standpoint. Realizing that. And I had them do everything that was exhausting and it burnt hard and bad for them. And they were struggling, but they were doing. They were doing. And 45 minutes of that, and there was not a single basketball. They didn't touch a ball for 45 minutes.
Hmm.
And this is a basketball league, basketball practice. Uh-huh. Coach didn't do nothing like that. Parents are looking at me all side-eyed, like, what is this guy doing? And I'm barking at them. Like, not like barking, but like, come but on, push
your,
through.
You had your assistant with you, right?
I did.
Okay, good.
I did. He was there.
It's like, but, like a balance. So it's not just you by yourself, but it's both right. of you.
But even he was kind of like, and he asked me in the middle of one, like, in the middle, like 20 minutes. And he's like, so what's like the, like, what are you trying to do? Like, because he had no idea what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to keep it that way. Because it was like shock therapy almost. Like, mm-hmm. what is this guy? Like, what is he thinking? And they already know me from before. Like, I'm always right. thinking like weird or different out of the box, right? Coloring outside. And I was like, I'm trying to teach them physically. Like, you need to get better. Like, you need to get stronger. Wherever you are, we need to amp that up. And now you learn physically where you're at. So every drill I just did is basketball related without a basketball.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only difference. So then we did the drills with the basketball and then it clicked. Oh, this is how this works, right?
Mm-hmm.
What he's making us do now with the ball, it translates. My coach got it. My assistant coach, right? He got it. Then I was like, all right, now let's go and play a little game, little competition. And this is where things get spicy. We start playing. I said, we do this one-on-one drills with the kids. Like, just go out. I roll the ball out. First one to get it, play one-on-one. You got to score. Normally, we do this with mm-hmm. one shot attempt.
Yeah.
I changed the rules.
Okay.
Keep going till somebody scores.
Mm.
Right? Keep going till someone scores.
I like it.
So now they're fighting, scratching, clawing, because even defense can get the ball and score. You don't have to reset. Wherever you get it, go score.
Mm-hmm.
So my whole perception for them, my whole frame of thought was, even my assistant coach was like, we don't do this drill this way. I'm like, yeah, but we're going to start doing it this way. Because I want to train them to finish a play.
Mm-hmm.
Don't stop until the play is finished. Until you see that ball go through the hoop, the play never stops. So we're going through this, right? We're going through this. And we have a couple studs on our team this year, man.
Mm-hmm.
And like Tage and this kid, like, whew. I was a fanboy watching these two kids go at it. It was fun. These other two kids got on, right? So like there's various levels of talent. It's fine. It's normal. And there came a point where it got to jump ball. Right? Both of them got their hands mm-hmm. on the ball together. Normally what happens?
Jump
ball. Blow a whistle,
yeah.
Stop the play, make jump a decision, ball. Right?
Yeah,
I said, nah, we're not going to do that.
Of course.
We're not going to do that. We're just going to let them keep going at it. So I told them, someone's got to come out with this ball.
Mm.
Because the play doesn't stop till the whistle blows. Am I wrong?
Mm.
Play doesn't stop till the whistle blows.
Yeah, keep fighting.
Keep fighting. So now there's for 45 seconds straight, these two kids are yanking, mm-hmm. yanking. And that, right, it exhausts you.
Yeah.
And it got them so bad, I saw parents getting antsy now. Because this is basketball, right? You're fighting, you're clawing. Guess who doesn't care? Guess who doesn't care?
Coach.
Defense.
Defense.
Defense don't give a shh about whether you're tired.
Mm-hmm.
You're exhausted. You got in a fight with your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your mom, your whoever. That doesn't care. You're injured. You're on that court. You're fair game. All right. I didn't blow the whistle. Somebody better come out with that ball. If somebody doesn't come out with that ball, the whole team runs. Now you got accountability. Finish the play through. See it through. Eventually, somebody came out with the ball 45 seconds later and super exhausted. Parents on edge. My coach looking at me like, should I have volunteered to want to coach with this guy?
What did I sign up for?
Right? Like, and he reached out to me like, I want to coach with you. All right, well, you sure? Because it's going to be a lot of this happening. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to challenge the system or the norms. So what happens is these two kids come out. Eventually somebody comes out where they're super exhausted. They're throwing up bricks now and air balls because they can't finish. They're tired.
Right.
Eventually to the point where one of them just gave up. One kid just gave up. He just quit and walked off the court. The other one had the ball. Easy basket, ready to go. Quit as well. Yeah. Just stopped. Mid possession. So now to me, what message does that send me as a coach? Kids, parents, think about it. What message would that send me as a coach now?
Mm-hmm.
These two kids I can't put in the fourth quarter. I don't trust them. Because when it's going to get down and dirty, fourth quarter, you're exhausted, you're tired. I can't trust you. I can't put the ball in your hand.
Because
I know you're not dependable.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that drill was for me to see who mentally is tough, physically can handle that grind. There's a method to the madness. You just got to have belief, right? Trust the process. And that's what that whole process was. So here's the spicy part of it. The next day, my assistant coach sends me a screenshot of a parent who I guess knows him from a previous another sport, reached out and said, so my son, you know, he, one of the kids who got into that little, felt a certain way about that. It's going to be hard convincing him to come back to tomorrow's practice or tonight's practice. And maybe Coach Hack should tone it down, tone the intensity down a little.
That's the worst thing that parent could have done.
Bro, what message does that send me as a coach, right? It sends me, this parent's a cupcake.
Yeah.
Right? Because in the middle of that, when that kid went off the court, immediately that kid's parent, are you okay? By his name. So now that tells me you're also, you know what I mean? Like you're kind of part of the problem. Just let him go through this. This is what we call adversity in life.
If he wants to be a ball player, he's going to come across way worse than that.
Correct.
Way worse than that.
Right. So now this parent did that. I told my assistant coach, I appreciate the heads up. And so my assistant coach was funny. He's like, you know what? In his response, he said, oh, I forwarded your message, the screenshot to the coach. And now he was so embarrassed, he couldn't even face me and show up. To talk to me about it. He hasn't even come in front of me. Because, dude, like, what are you doing?
Right.
What are you teaching your kid?
Well,
it might be your feelings you're putting through your kid. And this is first practice. Bro, first practice, right? Second practice, the kid came back. I put him through it again. To see what he's... Is it him or is it really, you know, parents...
Did he do better with parents not there?
Yeah, because it's... Parents didn't show up, and he went through it.
Okay.
Granted, you know, there was a little bit of lack of focus, but that's understandable. But that
did you give him some coaching as to why you did it?
No. When coach says to do it, you do it. Right? When coach is there for you, that's what I told him. We're here for you. I know how to play the game. I can play the game. I'm good. I'm all right.
Right.
Y'all learning the game. You got to trust the process. So what happened? The kids trusted it. They went through all that. I put them through some other ridiculous drills that generally were, you know, might be a little bit more for older age, but I want to introduce them early. You know, I like to pushed them early. We had a scrimmage. We had a scrimmage. We have the youngest team in the whole league.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this kid, basically these kids got out on the court. We watched every other team play. We saw where they're at, blah, 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 whoever the top players are. Not even worried anymore. Not even worried. Like, yeah, we're concerned, like, all right, we got to handle business, but I'm not worried, like, oh, can these younger kids who are playing up handle this division? No, these kids are good. They can handle it. Got on the court. We didn't even have all our top players. We had some of, like, the newbie, the kids who are learning, just learning the game. And, dude, we killed them.
Mm.
We killed the scrimmage. Easily. Then we got to play a back-to-back, and we tied that. Just because we were back-to-backs.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are young, still learning the game. But it was very clear-cut that, oh, we're going to be a problem. Or these kids are going to be a problem.
Then you could just mic drop on the parents. So, like...
So, after that, I got, you know, comments coming like, oh, great coaches. My son loves it. Thank you. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, like, trust the process.
Yeah,
and they also got to see Tage play for once. And, like first time...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Like, he dominated.
Yeah.
So, okay, this coach may know something, right, who's training his kid. Just maybe.
Just maybe.
Right? Like, oh, there's a method to this madness. Now the kids are trusting a little more. I guess I gotta earn trust. I got it.
Yeah.
But don't react. Like, don't do that initial immediate, yeah, like. Like, that's doesn't work well with a coach. If I hear that as a coach, now I'm like, all right, this parent is.
Yeah.
Just a note for the parents. That's all.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. We're off to a rocking start this season.
We are. But it's going to be a good one, exciting one.
Look forward to more stories from the stories from the bench. life of Coach Hack.
Oh man, dude, I'm excited, dude. We got some studs this year. Right. We'll see.
Dope.
We'll see. But so let's get to the episode.
Okay.
Today's episode. Speaking of, like, youth basketball, right? Where do most young kids shoot from?
Most young kids. Well, these days, they're trying to be like Steph, but they can't be.
Where should you start shooting from?
They need to learn how to start inward and work their way out.
Correct. Which is mostly the mid-range, right? After a layup, generally, it's the mid-range area.
Yeah, because that's about all they can get to.
Correct. Consistently or more accurately, per se, right? Anything further out is now you're just pushing and dreaming a little more. I don't trust a kid
wanting to be Steph Curry.
Correct. But Steph started inside. Worked his way out.
He did.
So I wanted to talk about this lost art, or this art of the mid-range, where people are just, or analysts, these data experts are talking about how the mid-range is a bad shot. They literally use the word a bad shot.
Yeah.
The mid-range.
Yeah.
People make a living.
Pull-up three is better than a mid-range shot.
So let me ask you a question,
man. From the data analytics.
Right. But I asked them a question. When is game time? When it's time to go get that game-winning bucket and the score is tied or you're down by one, what shot, for the most part, is being utilized? Generally, the best shot. And the best shot is the one that's generally closer to the rim. And a lot of those players are your favorite players.
Well,
a lot of them.
But they're also, it seems like players today practice more threes.
But they do.
Than they do mid-range anymore.
They do. However, to get to three, you still got to master the mid-range.
If you do.
Right.
But there's a bulk of players that they might be able to make their layups and hit threes, but I don't know that I would trust them in a mid-range shot with game on the line.
That's why I wouldn't. I would never put them in that conversation of Mount Rushmore of.
Because that's just not what they're being. They're looking at, oh, if I can hit threes and make layups, then I can get on the court. I can get paid.
However, now you're predictable. If you can't shoot a mid-range shot, you're not a complete. You can never say I'm a complete player.
I knew you were going to go to the complete player.
You are.
No, I'm not arguing that, but I'm just saying, like, that's what's, sure. That's what's getting paid today.
It's getting paid.
Mid-range shooters are not getting paid like
that. However, the people we talk about, GOATs, Mount Rushmores,
they all complete.
If you want to get players into that conversation, you want to be part of that group.
I definitely agree with that.
Right? Like, you gotta be able to shoot a mid-range shot. When the game's on the line, Kevin Durant goes for a mid-range shot. Mm. When the game's on the line, Steph Curry, well, he can go any shot.
Steph's an outlier.
He's an outlier. Dame's an outlier.
Can't use him as an example.
Devin Booker, Chris Paul. When
game's on the line, Bron's going to pass. Just kidding.
Stop this. Bro, come on now. Don't do that.
See where he did that recently? Yeah, and then he said, I make the right play.
Correct. And he does make that.
He does.
Yeah, no, I know. That's the in thing, right? That's the hot take right now. And that's just idiots who are pushing this idiotic narrative that the mid-range is a bad shot.
I don't know about idiotic, but I think it's because there's a similar thing of football with, like, if you're down by a certain point, like, if you're down by two touchdowns, they have you, like, you're down by 14 points, right? Mm-hmm. Conventional wisdom is if you score the first touchdown, you take the extra points, so you're only down seven, right, which means you score another touchdown, right, now you kick the extra point, you're tied. But the analytics say when you score that first touchdown, go for two.
And if you get it, because then if you get it
and you get another touchdown, you're ahead tied by one.
Right.
You're not
assuming
tied.
You make it.
Assuming you make the extra point. But if you don't get it, mm-hmm, and then you get that other, the second touchdown, then you have to go for two to tie it. So it's kind of like a similar thing with how data is changing the way decisions are made about the game, right?
Right.
And for this case, for players, it's definitely changing how they're getting paid because nobody's looking for a mid-range shooter.
They're not.
They're looking for either 3-and-D or somebody who can hit the threes, who can get the layups, you know. Maybe some mid-range, but, like, that's not a focus.
So I think what you're describing is James Harden.
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole bunch of dudes in the league.
There are, but as you're growing up, as you're becoming a ball player, you can't get through your career from youth basketball to AAU to college to high school without knowing how to shoot a mid-range shot. You can't. So
I'm not arguing that point with you. I'm just saying that's just how the game's evolving.
No, it is evolving. You're absolutely right. But at that point, by that point, you're getting paid big bucks to play a role, right? You're playing that role, whatever that role is, however that fits for you. But if you want to get into the great conversation, right? You want to be that next guy, that guy, right? Or Himmy or whoever.
Himmy buckets.
Right? If you want to be that, like DeMar DeRozan's, you got to master your game. You have to be in all the Kobe's, Bron, right? They can do everything and anything on the court at any time, in any situation. Without that, you can't be a ball player. You can't be a complete ball. I don't even want to hear the fact that, this is what I do great. All right. There's a whole little middle section of the floor.
So what about the guys who don't want to be the greatest, who are just there to make their money in?
So then you're in it for that. Good for you. But you still can't go make that money. You can't get to that point without playing the mid-range game throughout that journey of professional level. Really? Are you going to draft a player who can not shoot a mid-range shot as a team? I highly doubt that. As a scout, if I'm scouting you.
You, yes, because that's what you concentrate on. But that's not concentrate the data on analytics the whole game. Concentrate on.
This is why too much data analytics is not good. too much of it.
You think when the Dubs were scouting James Wiseman to pick him over LaMelo Ball, that they were like, oh, yeah, he can shoot the mid-range.
That's his role, though. His role is a center. Centers are not generally mid-range-ish type shooters.
But there's been plenty of centers who are great mid-range shooters. Complete players.
Maybe that guy wasn't. And also, is James Wiseman trying to be a great?
No, I mean, I'm talking about the team scouting, right? So, like,
okay, so even as a team scout,
the teams are scouting based on the needs that they have, right? So if they don't need mid-range shooter, then they're not necessarily going to be scouting for that.
Correct. They didn't need one at that point in time. Mm-hmm. But you as a player, if that's all you can do, then that's all you're going to be good for in that given situation.
Right.
But the problem is,
it's going to be phased out. But, like, again, that's not that's not what the youth are seeing to be trained up to be like, oh, you need to be all around players. Because that's not what they're seeing on TV.
And that's
they're
detrimental.
Seeing the flashy. I agree with you, but I'm just saying overall perspective, like that's where I believe we're headed, because they're seeing, okay, well, if I got a game, I got a bag like Steph or Dame or Trey or some of these other guys.
Or Luka.
Or even Luka. Yeah. I mean, like, right? Like, I just, these are just the things that I need to do. I don't need to work on that other stuff.
So that's the part where I would contest that. Say, right, yes, be an expert at that whole new age of basketball. Agreed. But let's say you're not able to. 5-4-3-2-1, best shot available is a mid-range, and you are inefficient, unable to, and terrible at it because you never worked on it.
But you won't be in the game in that situation.
Correct. You'll be watching from the bench.
Yeah, but I don't think that...
So take that to the bank.
I don't know that they've got the foresight to think that way. But I definitely hear you.
Like, and that's...
It's a dying art.
It is a dying art. And this is why... So I don't want to sit here and bash analytics, because I do believe there's value in it. There is value in it. But let's not be blind to the eye test. You got to find a balance. General analysts, right? Number crunchers, actuaries. What level of basketball? What level of sports do they get to?
So
and play.
Let me propose this. I think we should do a whole episode on data analytics versus like.
Okay.
The IQ, like, what do you see?
The eye test.
The eye test.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we should do a whole episode on that. And we can both present our cases, because you know I'm the data guy.
You're the data guy, but you still have some logical, like.
I can see both sides of the fence.
Yeah.
But I'm more
data
prone
driven
to use the data than you are. So let's do that. Okay. And we got about 20 minutes. So let's go through our.
So yeah, let's do
our,
that. Then.
Our theme of the day.
So our theme was, so you and I, without, you know, sharing any notes whatsoever, we set some parameters around this concept of let's go make our team of the best mid-range shooters in the history of the game without really pulling the obvious folks, right? Like no DeMar DeRozan, no Chris Paul, no Michael, no Kobe, no LeBron, right? These guys, let's just pull them out. And let's really... Let's educate ourselves and also the viewer, like, oh, this guy is a really, really good free throw, mid-range shooter. So let's go back and forth on that. Does that work?
That works.
That works? All right. So, sir, would you like to go first?
I'll go first.
Or should I go first?
No, I'll go first.
You go first. All right.
I think last game you went first, so it's my turn.
Okay, your turn.
So my first guy, you know I can't let a single episode go by without some kind of... Atlanta Hawks reference, or Atlanta sports reference
makes
in general.
Sense. Sure.
So I gotta go back to somebody who, you know, started with the Hawks. You know, he didn't. I don't know if he made his name with the Hawks so much as he made his name with the Mavs.
I know what you're talking
but
about.
But I'm gonna go with that point guard, the Jet, Jason Terry.
That's right.
Career 46%.
Yep.
And so when we talked about looking at the percentages, so we used basketballreference.com, and we looked at shooting from field goal percentage from 10 to 13.
Yes.
And then 13 to 3.
To 3.
Because we considered like...
10 to 16. 10 to 16
and 16 to 3. Because we considered like an 18-footer, 20-footer is still like mid-range.
Inside the arc.
It's inside the arc.
Yeah.
But it's not close enough to like the 3.
Right.
So we used 10 to 16, 16 to 3. As our kind of mid-range data.
Yes.
So career 46%. Like, bro, you can't.
And he played almost 20 years.
And he played for a long time.
Yeah, so that's
time.
That's money.
And he was a starter and effective on a championship
and a
team.
Champion.
So you can't argue with that. And then on top of it, he was 6'2".
6'2", that's right.
Undersized.
Also the poster shot for LeBron.
So, I mean,
LeBron's done. I got to put it in there, man. Come on.
That was when he was on the downside of his career.
Sure, sure. That's right. That's right.
But nobody remembers Celtics Jason Terry. Like,
they do remember that dunk.
Nobody remembers Celtics Jason Terry. Like your comment about MJ with the Wizards just didn't happen.
That didn't happen. What are you talking about? No, that's a great one. That's your point guard?
That's my point guard.
That's your point guard. Okay. Man, that's a good one. But I think I'm gonna better that one. I'm gonna better that one. And I'm gonna go with this guy, hands down, has probably one of the best nicknames. And it's a nickname that has an action behind it that is copied by many players, even Bron. And I think Kobe did it once. And this, my man, is Sam Cassell. Sam Cassell, right? I'm not going to say his name, the nickname. But,
It's more like the dance.
It's the dance, right? Yeah. Yes. So that dance and his percentage within that parameter we discussed was 46.2%. 15 years, which is...
So we're splitting hairs.
So we're better. Well, a lot of this is going to be splitting hairs because a lot of these people are points and this and that.
That's true.
So he's in the 46% range, 0.2, and he was by far the best point guard with that percentage.
Hmm.
So he is the GOAT mid-range shooter at that position. Did he win a championship, though? He did.
He was
with the Hakeem the Dream.
That's right.
He's a champion.
Yeah. So like we got a theme going.
And right now, he's an assistant... Yeah. I can't know to what, but for the Sixers.
Well, let's keep the theme of champions going.
Sure.
So I'm going to move to my shooting guard.
Okay.
Another champion.
Okay. I already know where you're going.
Undersized.
Mm-hmm.
Career 42% from the mid-range.
Okay.
Off the rip, Rip Hamilton.
Yeah, Rip.
Rip Hamilton. I like Rip. I mean, like, the crazy thing about Rip was he moved like Steph does today.
He was Steph before Steph.
Correct. Like the way he moved.
But inside.
But he did it inside. Exactly. Like, right. Which to me is even crazier because he had less space to
Correct.
Work with.
Correct.
And that another was guy the bumping who was, era. He was undersized, but he was still coming around these little curls and these pin downs. Yes. Like, boom.
Yes.
Just bucket after bucket after bucket. Like,
he was automatic. Especially automatic. On a team where they didn't have any true superstar.
Right.
Like Detroit.
Right.
Right. So yeah, Rip. Rip is automatic.
Automatic.
Automatic. I like that one. So for me in that position, I'm going to stay with the champion theme here. I'm going to stay with the champion theme. I'm going to go with a guy who went through a lot of ups and downs. At some point, it was almost like, is he going to even come back from some injuries he had, or at least one particular injury he had? And you give him the ball in the mid-range, you might as well just turn around and start walking back. It was like that with him. Any idea? No clue. If I say the team, you'll know it. That'd be too easy. He bounced around a little. No? Sean Livingston.
Mm.
Sean Livingston. Another also 42% from mid-range career, 14-year career. This man was an automatic bucket. And on top of that, he was taller. He was bigger. And he could play multiple. He played point guard. He played shooting guard. He could play small forward. He can play. He's versatile. So Sean Livingston, my guy.
Okay. So here's where we might have a little bit of controversy.
Okay.
On the pod. We might need to throw a flag. Mm. Might need a challenge to play.
Okay.
Because I was very specific when I was asking about where's the line, uh-huh. right? Because you kept saying, just none of the obvious. It's no Kobe, Bron, KD, CP3. Like, none of the obvious ones. Mm-hmm. Steph, mm-hmm. whatever. Like, just none of the obvious.
Sure.
And I'm like, okay, but like, where's the line to mm-hmm. obvious versus non-obvious?
Okay.
And that's all the examples that I was given.
Okay.
And then you said one in your little intro here
mm-hmm.
that I used.
Oh, I
Which
see.
To me wasn't it was it's obvious but not to this to casuals. I don't know. I don't think
no,
it
you
is.
Don't think so?
Maybe it is, maybe I'm just wrong. I don't
think
know.
I know where you're going. I think
but
exactly
I chose another 42% shooter in DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah. Well, I mean
just because like again, the same like the longevity that he's done it you know, team to team and systems and just everything that he's been able to continues to ball. Like, he is money.
Oh, yeah.
He's money from the mid-range. Like,
especially as one of the go-to primary players on any team he goes to.
Yeah, like...
Right. He's not a second, third option.
Yeah, from the time he came in the league.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just continued to work and, like, to just establish himself as... It's one of the best
mid-range master.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'll let it slide.
I mean,
because since I color so much outside the lines, I'll let it slide.
I was like, damn, like this is why I kept asking, like, where's the line? I wanted you to be like,
I think it was pretty obvious though.
I wanted you to be obvious. Like, DeMar DeRozan's the line.
You mean specifically
like that? That would have helped, but like, I didn't want you to know.
My bad.
What I was thinking. So I don't know.
It's all right though. I think some casuals may not know that because he's not really known to be elite in something, but that he is elite in that, hands down.
Should have won a championship.
100%. Agreed. Okay, so DeMar DeRozan, simple one. I'm going to go a little back. I'm going to go throwback. Right? Since now that we've taken a step through non-champions, let me continue that non-champion trend. And I'm going to go with the guy that was on a team that had its heyday, was this close to becoming champions, but just couldn't get over that hump. It is bad luck. And their fans are tormented. We'd have to do an episode on tormented fans, and this team will...
You talking about the Knicks?
Very well fall into that. You talking about the Knicks? I am absolutely talking about the Knicks.
Like, as soon as you talked about torment, I was like, it's got to be somebody from the Knicks.
Correct. We have to do an episode on this. But this guy was money, man. I remember watching him as younger.
I already know.
And every time he had the smoothest like shot, like his stroke on. Oh my god!
His name is after a city.
Correct.
Yeah, correct. Know who it is?
Allen Houston. Allen Houston was automatic, bro. Automatic. Like, you just give him the ball, you can start walking away as well. He was that automatic from mid range. Any day, all day, every day. He just happened to play for the Knicks. Although they were pretty good back then with the Latrell Sprewell, you know, they were pretty good. But
I mean, it's a respectable pick. Career cut way too short. But
So let me give you his numbers real quick. So he was 46% free throw shooter, mid range shooter. I don't know why I'm stuck on free throws. Mid range shooter, 12-year career, awesome player.
Yeah. Just cut a little too short.
Yeah.
But it is a good choice. Good choice. Okay. I like it. All right. No, the four spot.
Yeah.
The way you were kind of leading that up about a team being tormented, they had their heyday. This team had its own little run.
Okay.
In a tough Western Conference.
Mm.
Anchored by this guy.
Okay.
And I swear, man, I'd just be watching him. And every time that he got it on the high post, and he just, and it would be wet.
Okay.
Snap the net.
Okay.
Every time, because he had the height and the length, like the arm length, to just shoot over the top of everybody.
You're talking about what? KD?
Talking about LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yes.
For the Blazers.
Yes.
And they had their little run for a period of time where they couldn't get over that hump.
Yeah.
But man, like every time he got it on the block, the high block, like. Mm. He would just...
And he had such a high release.
High release.
He didn't even load up down here. It was up here straight. Like, he was money.
Yeah. I mean, he was better the further out you were.
Yes.
But he was overall career 42% as well.
Oh, yeah. So, one thing... I should have probably put this in the parameters as well, because I also tried to pick non-All-Stars, right? He was a seven-time All-Star.
Well.
So...
But he's not, like, somebody that comes...
He's not, yeah, he doesn't come to mind.
Because he's on Portland. I mean...
He went to the Spurs.
Yeah. And he still continued to do it.
Yeah. No. LaMarcus Aldridge was automatic. Correct.
He was a beast.
Yeah. I'm going to go for my fourth spot with somebody who's not so well known, but was very well known in the earlier era. His son plays in the league right now.
It's a four.
His son doesn't play four, though.
Kenyon Martin?
No, that's a good one, but he's not a mid-range. You're not going to think of him as a mid-range.
I'm trying to think of a four whose son plays in the league.
If I give you a nickname. Big Dog. No? Glenn Robinson.
Oh, that's right.
Glenn Robinson. Automatic.
Is his son still playing in the league?
He does play in the league. I believe he does.
He's not in a G League right now.
I don't know. But he
was. He was.
He was in the league, or he is in the league. Okay. And Glenn Robinson was another one. Automatic, give him the ball, start walking away. Don't even got to turn to look around back. This guy's percentage was what really got me. 47%. Mm. 47%, 11-year career. Mm. Like, he was automatic. Like, that's a sure bet bucket.
It's respectable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the highest we've had so far.
That's respectable.
Yeah. So.
LaMarcus would still shoot over him.
Well, he's taller. LaMarcus is also a center, though.
No, he's a power forward.
Yeah. Now he's splitting hairs again. He's generally, technically, he would be a center, as big as he is.
He played the four.
I know he did. I know he did. But.
Okay. All right. Glenn Robinson. All right. Well, for my five, I picked a guy who used to drive me nuts. I hated him. Hated him.
Really?
Yeah. As every time he played my team, he would kill us. And I just, like, it just drive me nuts. I just didn't like him.
Okay.
I didn't like him, but he was good. Like, it was one of those type of things.
Okay.
Like, I respected him. I don't like him. Like, I don't like him. I got you. Don't like the way he
plays.
But
if he was on your team, you love him.
Oh, if he would have ever, he was never on my team, but let me tell you, I would have taken him on my team.
Okay.
Any day. Career 45%.
Okay.
David West.
Oh, yeah.
David West.
That Pacers David West.
Pacers, the New Orleans, and the Warriors.
Okay. Okay.
Like, every stop that he had.
Yeah.
He was balling out, but David West was a monster.
And you never think of him as a shooter.
And it was so infuriating because he was it's like, why are you that good? Like, but you're not that good. But why, like, I don't know. It was like, it's a love-hate relationship. No rationale. Like, there was none. Like, so if David West hears, I apologize. Like, there's zero rationale for why I should have.
But you know what?
Liked this guy, but I respected it. The game, though.
Yes.
But I hated playing every time we had to play it.
Listen, he was one of the top players in the league.
He was.
In his position. I mean, so you got to respect that.
Yeah, he was a beast.
And you know, like, I never really got to know him, like, as a player. I never really followed him like that. But I heard this one podcast he did, and he was a really smart guy.
Oh, yeah.
His analysis of the game, like, wow.
Yeah, oh, yeah. So, I'm telling you, like, I have no like qualms rational reason to just not. I just would be infuriated every time he'd be hitting these fucking jumpers, like flat foot, almost flat footed jumpers.
He's big.
Against
he's
big my man. Team. I'm just like.
And he was a bruiser, like a body. Yeah. So 2-1, right?
He's a monster. Beast.
Okay. For my last one, I'm going to go with.
The last one, we still got six man.
We got six man? Yeah. I got to pick a center.
I know. I'm saying that's not your last one. We still got.
My bad. That's right. So my center, my starting, my last starter. I'm gonna go with somebody who should be very close to your heart. Someone who's gonna be near and dear to you.
I don't think that was that good.
No.
I think I know who you're gonna say.
And.
I don't think he was that good.
This guy, but he was.
Was he?
Yeah. Really? Oh, he was. Yeah.
From the mid range.
Oh yeah, he was.
He turned himself into a three-point shooter later in his career, right?
Well, so did Brooks, the brothers, the tall, the really tall.
Oh, Robin.
Rob,
and,
yeah.
And Brooke Lopez.
Brooke Lopez, yeah. Like, can you imagine Brooke Lopez shooting threes, being almost 7 feet tall? But this guy, same thing. Like, he extended his career by becoming a three-point shooter. He did become a good mid-range shooter to get to become a good three-point shooter. And I'm sure you already know who I'm talking about. Al Horford.
Yeah, so I was like.
Yeah, Al Horford, man. Come on now. ATL rep.
I mean.
45.3%.
Listen, Horford and Atlanta have a difficult history.
Regardless, say the it's numbers. Hard to, it's the hard analytics to, speak for it, themselves.
It's hard to remember the good times. So I maybe have blocked a few of those out.
Oh, okay, I got you.
But, yeah, no, I mean.
No, he's automatic. He was a reliable, solid mid-range shooter. And I remember watching him. Like, and he was. You may have blocked him because of that history behind it. But from me, who doesn't have that type of...
Well, I didn't block it till after.
Okay.
Not while it was happening.
But he's definitely one of those. Like, if I need a big man who could shoot, I'm taking him. Okay. Especially now that he could shoot a three. Like, absolutely, I'm taking him. Mm. So... Mm. That's my center.
Well, there was a whole, like, the entire debate hit since from the time he was drafted was, should it be a four or a five?
Mm.
That was the whole debate. And we were using him as a small five, like playing small ball back in the day before it was the cool thing to do.
Right, small ball.
Yeah, like small we were ball, doing it before it was the cool thing to do.
You guys were the Doves but of then the East.
That was the criticism was, oh, he's really a four, but he's playing out of position and he should be like more of a stretch four type. But then he was running the lanes and getting the dunks just like he was back in Florida. So, I mean,
he's a versatile 4-5.
I mean,
you know, I'm just giving respect to your, you know.
Listen,
this is a rare moment. Take it.
I'm gonna just take it. I think I'm just deflecting because you took my sixth man.
Oh, I did.
And I don't have a backup. I didn't think you were gonna take my sixth man.
Oh man. Well.
But nonetheless,
you're gonna just throw one out there.
I'll just tell you who it was.
Sure.
It was Sean Livingston.
Oh man, yeah.
And particularly like. There was that one playoff series with Golden State when they went out there on their run of titles. I think it may have been the one pre-KD, actually.
Okay.
But I just remember, like, every time he hit the floor, he would come in and just whatever point guard was guarding him, because he was so tall and long, he would just shoot over top of him from 18.
Yep.
Shoot over top of him from 18. Especially from the elbow. He would just dribble up, size him, swish.
And even if you decided to post, he's still big. He's going to push the point guard in and just turn
and then
it
he
on.
Would just fit. Like,
yeah, it'd be a layup.
It was just every single time. It was cash.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, and now, of course, I was rooting for the Cavs. Right. I want the story of Bron bringing it. So it was infuriating.
He was
this
messing
guy,
it up.
But it was nice to see the comeback after the whole
injury
and everything. Right. So he was mine. So I'm going to give a secondary one off the cuff. I don't know the percentage.
Okay.
But I do remember him being in the a good mid range shooter. I'll take it back because he was teammates with one of the guys that you selected.
Okay.
And that was. Wally Serbia.
I'm taking
it all the way back.
You're taking that back? Wow.
I'm taking it all the way back to the Wolves.
The Minnesota. Oh, wow. Okay.
Wally Serbia. I used to love playing with the Wolves back in, I forget what game it was.
NBA Jam?
It might have been NBA Jam. No, it may have been something else. Not Jam. Something else. Okay. But I used to love playing with the Wolves. Cassell and Sprewell.
KG and
just had all of them. Like they were a loaded.
They
team.
Were loaded. Stephon Marbury was there.
But you know, Wally was a shooter.
Yeah, he was. He was.
Wally
it's a good
was
one.
A shooter.
It's a good one. Technically, I have him here.
No, do you?
44.9%. 10-year career.
Let's go.
Yeah, 45%. So yeah.
So
yeah.
See, I just did that off the cuff.
There you go. See, boom. That's RBA.
That's
clutch,
RBA.
Right?
That's what we do.
All right. So and I got a couple here, and I'm trying to. See where I want to go. Can I throw just one out there?
No, you got to pick your sixth man, and then
okay, then I'll throw it. Right.
Yeah,
my sixth man, and I'm gonna go. I think I'm gonna go big. I'm gonna go big.
You going big man?
Yeah, I'm gonna go big. A guy you're not even gonna. You're gonna be like, what heck? You lost your mind. Like, really lost my mind. Celtics. Not Kendrick Perkins.
I mean, that'd be
not
out
big
there.
That'd be out there. But this might be out there as well.
What, Big Baby?
No, that's a good one, though. Not Big Baby.
A big man from the Celtics.
When they went through their run. I think he was probably
Leon
part
Poe?
Of... No.
When they went
this
through
is like,
their run?
This is the KG, Paul Pierce. And
yeah,
all.
I'm trying to think. They had Leon Poe... They had Perk. Was it only? Brandon Bass.
Brandon Bass, bro. Brandon Bass.
Yeah, but I mean, how much playing time did he get? Are you talking about the later, like when he played for the Mavs?
So let me give you some stats here.
Okay.
46%.
Yeah.
Mid range, 12-year career.
12-year career, but the thing about Bass is that unlike everybody else, he was never like a big time starter.
He wasn't. He wasn't.
Guy.
He wasn't.
But everybody else that we have on our list were like starter. Like even Sean Livingston, even though after the injury he wasn't a starter, he was a sixth man. getting 6 million. Got Brandon Bass is getting like
strictly, see, now 15 now to you're 20. Diving deep. We're just going strictly based off the surface numbers we're throwing out here. This man's numbers speak.
Yeah, but if you're only putting up 4 shots a night.
That I don't know. We don't know that. We can look it up.
I mean,
but we don't know that.
I don't know. I think there are better options.
There are, but.
But you go, you, you take go, your I'm Brandon
I'm
Bass.
I'm going to take Brandon Bass.
And watch my team wipe yours.
With who?
With everybody.
I got the best. I have the best number of shooters, period, on my team. And you ain't got nobody.
My team will wipe y'all.
With what?
I got scores. I got defense. Everything. And then
and who are you going to stop automatic buckets? Nobody.
Yes.
Nobody. You said it yourself. Sean Livingston is going to. Exactly. No one. Who's going to guard Sean Livingston?
When he comes
in. Which point guard? When he comes in.
I'm going to put Wally on him.
Guess what? And we're going to get the switch.
Yeah.
And he's going to abuse whoever's going to guard him.
I'll take Jason Terry out and I'll put Wally in.
They're your shooter. He's one of the best shooters. You ain't got shootings anymore.
Nah, I mean, I'll be fine. I got plenty of other shooters.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. You're done, bro.
So who are your honorable mentions?
I was going to mention one, Elton Brand.
Yes.
Elton Brand.
That would have been better than Brandon.
41.6, 17-year career. And Jamal Crawford.
Oh.
Not too high, but Jamal Crawford.
Oh, I forgot about
Jamal. Yeah, Jay Crossover. If you want highlights and mid-range, Jay Cross.
Man.
Yeah. So Jay Cross. You know what? I'm going to take Brandon Bass out for Jay Cross. No, that's a good idea.
No, it's already done. It's already done.
That's what I'm going to do. Jay Cross, my guy right there. No, listen. You did that little whole, the little thing I let go. Here's me catching on mine. Jay Cross, my guy. Six man. He is a six man.
You go change it he after is the effect. GOAT
six man.
Okay. That's fine.
And the other guy was Earl Boykins. Another mid-range master.
Strongest dude.
Strong as an ox, man. Mm-hmm. So 41.2, 13-year career. Did I say Jamal Crawford? What he did? 20-year career.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those were the guys I had when I did my research. Those guys kind of floated to the top, obvious. So
Jay Crossover ended his career with a 50-point game. 50.
What a way to end it, man!
Off the bench.
What a way to, and now he's an analyst with the TNT crew.
He can still ball today.
Like, hands down. When he does his pro am or what does he do in Seattle?
He kills
him. This man's killing it.
Yeah,
the way he toys with them, you know.
And today's game is even more suited for him than ever.
Oh, yeah. He was also early. You know, one thing I heard him say, and it sucks that we all are never going to get to see this. He said he still had about 4 to 5 moves in his bag that he never pulled out.
It's crazy.
Never pulled out.
Crazy.
Bro.
Well, what? We might see him when his son comes up.
Hey, that's true.
We might see him when his son comes up.
Man, I hope so. I hope so. But this man was, he was special. Yes, sir. Special talent. So, sir, anything you wanted to add?
No, sir. Beyond that? I just want to see what our two teams look like stacked up next to each other and what the viewers think.
I look forward to that. But that's all I got. And thank you guys for tuning in. Right, let us know who has the better team here with the mid-range it's Masters. Clear. Listen, Jay Cross himself, it's a 50-point game. You said he's going to end it. He's ended his career that way.
Count.
It's
a wrap. Brandon Bass.
No. You did what you did. You remember what you did earlier? And I let go? You remember what that?
Because you didn't tell me
No. Come on now. All right. But either way, thank you guys for tuning in. Remember to like, share, subscribe. And we will see you on the next episode. Think RBA. Peace.